In a world of conflicting values, where questions are more common than answers, God's Word provides everything we need to live a God-centered, truth-driven life. Join us now for the Word for Life, brought to you by Brookside Baptist Church and hosted by Pastor John Fallahy, as he shares the truth for the day.
Hi, this is Pastor John, Discipleship Pastor at Brookside Baptist Church, and I am so glad you could join us for our journey through the book of Exodus. We are in commandment number 8 in Exodus chapter 20, verse 15. And this commandment, no stealing, reads as follows: You shall not steal. There's no confusion on this passage. Now, as I said last time, you need to understand the cultural context, that resources back then were limited. Stealing someone's animal, ox, or other implement that was critical for them to take care of themselves could be life-threatening to the owner. Now, I want to stress that this commandment doesn't just cover life-threatening things. This is way more expansive. So let's walk through this. First, since there is no object mentioned in this passage to what could be stolen, the implication is it applies to both the tangible and the intangible. In other words, stealing someone's reputation through slander or someone's freedom or taking away rights, etc. And since there are no exceptions given, it is never appropriate. Proverbs 6:30, people do not despise a thief if he steals to satisfy himself when he is starving. Yet, when he is found, he must restore sevenfold. He may have to give up all the substance of his house. Now, the idea there is, and this is so important, when it comes to justice, you don't take into account motive or circumstance. You simply look, did they break the law, yes or no? That's the key behind this passage. Now, this can apply not only to individuals, but governments and institutions. So let me ask you just a real practical and personal question. Has anyone ever stolen from you? How did it feel to be so violated? I would be shocked if any of you in the audience has not had something stolen from you. This is commonplace. All of us have had something stolen from us. Now, what's interesting is the rest of Scriptures expands on this idea. Now, I'm not going to read all the passages, but I'll review a couple of the key ones. Exodus chapter 22 gets into some specific laws. If a man steals an ox or a sheep, slaughters it or sells it, he shall restore 5 oxen for an ox and 4 sheep for a sheep. So that example, and there's much more in that particular passage, talks about the consequences for the thief. And look at all the possibilities: steals it, slaughters it, or even sells it. Exodus 21:16, he who kidnaps a man and sells him, or if he is found in his hand, shall surely be put to death. Proverbs 20:23, diverse weights are an abomination to the Lord, and dishonest scales are not good. Job 24:2, some remove landmarks. They seize flocks violently and feed on them. They drive away the donkey of the fatherless. They take the widow's ox as a pledge. They push the needy off the road. All the poor of the land are forced to hide. These are all different examples of the same reoccurring theme, stealing. Jeremiah 23:30, therefore, behold, I'm against the prophets, says the Lord, who steal my words, everyone from his neighbor. Micah 3:1, and I said, hear now, O heads of Jacob, and you rulers of the house of Israel, is it not for you to know justice? You hate good and love evil, who strip the skin from my people and the flesh from their bones, who also eat the flesh of my people and flay their skin from them, break their bones and chop them into pieces like meat for the pot, like flesh in the cauldron. You can see how the wickedness had reached a point that God was so angry with them, the way they took advantage and robbed the people. Malachi 3:8, one of the more notable passages, will a man rob God? You have robbed me, Israel's implied, but you say, in what way have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house, and try now me in this thing, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessings that there will not be enough room to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sake, so that he will not destroy the fruit of your ground, nor shall the vine fail to bear fruit for you in the field, says the Lord of hosts. And all nations will call you blessed, for you will be a delightful land. So here's an example of the people of Israel stealing from God. And God saying, look, prove me wrong. Give to me and I will bless you abundantly. Ecclesiastes 5:10, our last passage here. He who loves silver will not be satisfied with silver, nor he who loves abundance with increase. This also is vanity. That appetite of man is impossible to satisfy. I think it was John Rockefeller, famous rich individual. Someone asked him, how much is enough? And he goes, $1 more, which is another way of saying never is there enough. Implication here, and I love this principle about this particular commandment. God is protecting private property. There are many in the Christian circles who are making the claim that somehow socialism is Christian. It is not. God is assuming throughout the Old and New Testament that individuals have their own property, that they are stewards to God first and foremost with that. And with that stewardship, they can decide and determine and discern what is the best use. God owns it all. Thus, we are mere stewards of what the Lord gives to us. And I want you to think about this. When you steal, when you take something from someone else, you're stealing from God ultimately, because God gave that individual that property to be a steward of. And for you to come along and take that property is to steal from God's steward. That should change your whole perspective on how you think about stealing from another. Psalm 24:1, the earth is the Lord's and all its fullness, the world and those who dwell therein. Deuteronomy 10:14, indeed heaven and the highest heavens belong to the Lord your God. Also the earth with all that is in it. You and I are mere stewards. Deuteronomy 8:18, and you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he swore to your fathers, as it is this day. In 1 Samuel 2:7, in Hannah's prayer, the Lord makes poor and makes rich. He brings low and he lifts up. As I said, stealing from others is stealing from God. Stealing interferes with one stewardship before the Lord Almighty. Now, there's consequences, is there not? Our society understands this. You understand this. If someone steals, there should be consequences. Exodus 22:1, I mentioned earlier, talked about the restoration of five oxen for an ox that was stolen and four sheep for a sheep. Leviticus 6:2, a person sins and commits a trespass against the Lord by lying to his neighbor about what was delivered to him for safekeeping, or about a pledge, or about a robbery, or if he is extorted from his neighbor, or if he has found what was lost and lies concerning it, and swears falsely in any one of these things that a man may do in which he sins, then it shall be because he has sinned and is guilty that he shall restore what he has stolen, or the thing which he has extorted, or what was delivered to him for safekeeping, or the lost thing which he found, or all that about which he has sworn falsely, he shall restore its full value and one-fifth more to it, and give to whomever it belongs on the day of his trespass offering. So the Lord is saying, look, if you're guilty, there's a consequence. And by the way, so much for finders keepers, losers weepers, which, by the way, that originally applied to something unowned and abandoned. We're not talking about finding someone else's property and you say, hey, it looks abandoned, I'm taking it. No, you need to do the first foremost thing and see if you can reasonably find the owner. That is the Christ-like thing. Proverbs 29:24, whoever's a partner with a thief hates his own life. He swears to tell the truth but reveals nothing. But what about the New Testament? What does it say regarding property and thieving and stealing? Well, when it comes to storing treasures, Matthew 6:19 records the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. What an incredible passage to remind us that the earth is not a place for us to store up our treasures. Rather, it's a place to serve the Lord, to accrue spiritual treasures, a reward to be received at the judgment seat of Christ. We also have to guard against hypocrisy. Romans 2:17, the Apostle Paul wrote, "Indeed, you are called a Jew and rest on the law and make your boast in God, and know his will and approve the things that are excellent, being instructed out of the law, and are confident that you yourself are a guide to the blind, a light to those who are in darkness, an instructor of the foolish, a teacher of babes, having the form of knowledge and truth in the law. You, therefore, who teach another, do you not teach yourself? You who preach that a man should not steal, do you steal? You who say, do not commit adultery, do you commit adultery? You who abhor idols, do you rob temples? You who make your boast in the law, do you dishonor God through breaking the law? For the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles because of you, as it is written." The point of this passage that Paul's writing is guard against hypocrisy. If you claim to profess Christ as your Lord and Savior, how are you living? How are you presenting your life before the Lord? You know, John 12:4 gave us insight about one particular disciple. But one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, who would betray Jesus, said, "Why was this fragrant oil not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor?" This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the money box, and he used to take what was put in it. What's amazing with Judas is that none of the disciples knew that he was doing this, but God knew and Jesus knew. You're not deceiving anyone if you think you're getting away with stealing. You do not get away with it. You will pay one way or the other in this life or the next. Now, Romans 13:9 reminds us of these commandments. For the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, you shall not covet, and if there is any other commandment, are all summed up in this saying, namely, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. So, this commandment repeats in the New Testament. So how do we overcome this? Well, Paul gives us some wisdom in Ephesians chapter 4:28. Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give him who has need. I love this passage because Paul is saying, look, you have to put off stealing. You have to cease. You have to stop. But that's not where it ends. You must put on righteousness. In other words, get a job, save some money, and look at this. It goes beyond just taking care of your needs. It extends to others. Give to someone who has need. Now, there's more to say on this passage regarding employment and how we're not to pilfer based on our time and the company's resources, and how as a witness we should never be a thief, and how we manage others. We have to make sure that we're, as managers, as owners of companies, taking care of our employees. And then lastly, in 1 Timothy 6:6, now godliness with contentment is great gain. We brought nothing into the world, and it's certain we can carry nothing out. So, in closing, examine your life and see if there's any changes that you need to make in light of this very important commandment. Well, until the next time we meet again, may you confess your sin, read God's word, and obey out of love and glory for God alone.
We hope you enjoyed today's broadcast. If you would like a copy of today's program or have a question we can answer, please contact us at The Word for Life, 4470 North Pilgrim Road, Brookfield, Wisconsin, 53005. For more info about The Word for Life, to make a donation to continue this broadcast, as well as other resources for your Christian walk, visit us at www.thewordforlife.org. Thanks for listening today. Tune in again next time as we bring the Word of God to your life.